Merry Christmas. We feel so fortunate to be in your homes today and during this Christmas season where we rejoice in our Savior and remember the birth of our Lord Jesus and the reason he came, to die for our sins and strengthen us in our faith. I'm Mike Salem. From all of us at the Christian Worship Hour, we are grateful for your continued support and prayers for this ministry. We pray today's Christmas message titled, Listen, Listen, from my dad, Pastor Sam, will give you hope. We pray the peace, love, and joy of Jesus Christ will fill your hearts and homes this Christmas. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we really have a wonderful service planned today because this is our Christmas Eve service. Just think, in 4 days, we'll be in Christmas Eve, and that's the most wonderful time of the year, Christmas time. And so maybe while we're opening our letters and all of the rest of it, maybe you can call your friends and tell them to tune us in. This is Christmas. And this is a Christmas sermon, Christmas Eve. And so we're looking at, for opening scripture, we're looking at the Isaiah chapter 9. And this scripture was written by the prophet 700 years before Jesus was ever born. And it's what we call prophecy. And every prophecy they made about Jesus Christ came true, except some of it yet to happen when he comes again. And so Isaiah writes these words in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, even from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And oh God, we just thank you for giving your son Jesus. And truly he is wonderful. And he's our counselor and he is God. He is God, the second person of the Trinity. He is called, oh God, he is here to guide and direct us. And so we just pray that this service will honor Jesus, that when he came to this world, born of the Virgin, and now at your right hand, going to come again someday. Bless us in this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank's starting us out with a beautiful song. It's Christmas time all over the world, and we're preaching all over the world, and he's singing all over the world. How can you beat that? God bless you, Hank.
It's Christmas time all over the world, to people near and far. It's Christmas time all over the world, no matter where you are. Though Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he lives in people's hearts. And it's Christmas time all over the world. From Maine to California and everywhere in between, there's people who love Jesus, people we've never seen. From Alaska to Jamaica to England across the sea, even if you go to Tokyo to celebrate Jesus' reign. It's Christmas time all over the world, to people near and far. It's Christmas time all over the world, no matter where you are. Though Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he lives in people's hearts. And it's Christmas time all over the world.
Jesus came to Bethlehem, with love he came to save. Now there's people all over this big wide world who celebrate Jesus' birthday. Yeah, it's Christmas time all over the world, to people near and far. It's Christmas time all over the world, no matter where you are. Though Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he lives in people's hearts. And it's Christmas time all over the world. And it's Christmas time all over the world.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. God bless.
Well, thank you, Hank, and a Merry Christmas to you. And be sure to hang up your sock, because it probably needs some airing. But no, just kidding. Hank is a great guy and a great help to us. Well, we're just so happy that we've come to the Christmas season, because it's the coming of the Lord Jesus. And when he came, you know, his coming was so important and so great and powerful that it divided time in half from B.C. to A.D. And I always kind of chuckle. I have these people that say they're atheists. They don't believe in God. But every letter they write, every document they make, they have to put on A.D. It's A.D. And that's the coming of the Lord Jesus. Praise his name. Well, we have some letters, and I want to thank you for all of the letters you've written to us. And we always read each one, and we pray for those who have prayer requests. And it helps us to know where our people are, what you're thinking, and what some of your needs are. And maybe then we can answer them in our singing and in our preaching and minister to your hearts. So here are some of the letters. The first one is from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And they write, we have been listening to you for over 35 years. My husband and I have been and is gone for almost over 30 years now. I am in a retirement home, so don't get out anymore, only to doctor appointments. So really enjoy your services every Sunday. Well, we've been on just a little over 36 years. And so here's some dear folks who picked us up right away and been with us ever since. Won't that be nice to see them in heaven and to talk about them and the days we had on earth and then just rejoice around the throne of God? It'll be great to meet all of you people from all over the world. I can't hardly wait. Here's a letter from Groveland, Florida. I wrote you a letter telling you I have received Jesus in my heart. I haven't heard from you. I hope you receive my letter. I know you can't read all your mail. I wanted to be sure you have heard me. Well, I maybe was a little slow getting around, but our letters have crossed because we've sent literature. Whenever we hear from anybody that has a problem, we'll try to answer that problem, and especially if you accepted Jesus. And we send a packet that like Billy Graham gives out of the Crusades, and it gets you started in the Christian life. And she says here, I know you can't read all your mail. Well, we do read all of our mail. As a matter of fact, we read it twice. We have a lady that opens it, and then she takes down if they want CDs, if they want DVDs, if they want to be on the new song, if they want to have one of our booklets, or they want the one on suicide, whatever. And then she'll pass it to the different ones that answer that. And then all of the letters come to me, and I read every one of them. Now, I don't know. I think our mail is picking up, and I don't know if we will always be able to do that, but we're doing it now, and because you're important to us, and we just thank you for writing. So this lady has her information, has it by now, and God bless her. Here's one. I had to put this in. Belfour, South Dakota. That's my hometown. That's out in western South Dakota. And it's a beautiful city and beautiful black hills. And boy, I just love that country. And I got a lot of friends out there. And this one writes a little short letter, but I put it in anyway because I got to talk about Belle Fouche. I would like to thank you for bringing me closer to the Lord. And that isn't that, and that's wonderful. And you know how that works? We preach the Bible, and the Holy Spirit takes the Bible and applies it to people's hearts, and it helps the people draw close to Jesus, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit, because he draws people to the Lord Jesus. And the more you read the Bible and study the Bible and meditate upon the Word of God and hear the Word of God preached and go to your church where they preach the Bible, you'll grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. And it's just wonderful to grow spiritual in the Lord and be a servant of the Lord. God bless you at Belle Fouche. Here's Urbandale, Iowa. I recently had a hip joint replaced and was in rehab for some time. I found great comfort in watching the Christian Worship Hour every Sunday. It kept me looking to the brighter side of life. I came home last Tuesday. I'm doing better each day. And here's the point we've got, the brighter side of life. It cheers us up and it helps us. And sometimes, you know, we have tough days and we have hard things in this life. Jesus said, he said that the devil is going to afflict the people of God. And in this world, you're going to have tribulation, he says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Jesus is greater than the devil. And someday Jesus is going to put him in the lake of fire where he belongs. And then all of the grief that he's caused others, that'll stop. In the meantime, he'll sure do his business. So just stay close to Jesus and he can bring you joy and happiness as you travel this, make this journey down below. Here's Minneapolis, Minnesota. I look forward to Sunday morning. You inspire me to keep pushing on no matter what the circumstances are. At 89 and a half, I still need to hear the words, God loves me. Thanks for your picture. I see why you run so smoothly with such a wonderful team. God bless you all. Well, we do have a wonderful team. We have wonderful staff. We have wonderful musicians. We have technicians that run all this equipment. I wouldn't know the first thing about it. And they take care of that. And so they get it to put it together for us. And it's a wonderful team. And we're very thankful for them. And here she says, I need to hear the words, God loves me. And you know, I was reading about a man. He was about 90 years old. And they asked him what his favorite hymn was. And you know what he said? You guessed it. He said, Jesus loves me. We all want to be loved. Sometimes people say, I don't care if people love me or not. But down in the heart, everybody wants to be loved. And you can be loved because Jesus loves you. God loves you. And we at the Christian Worship Hour love you. And there are probably others that love you, you don't know about it. But at least you can count on us and you can count on God. Yes, that's a good news. Now, she talks about a picture, and we sent that out with our new song. And that's a little Bible study that we put out every month. And our Bible study is on, what shall we name him? We're talking about Jesus. What shall we name him? That's the Bible study. And this last time, we sent a picture. So if you want that picture, you write to us, a Christian Worship Hour. Let me give you the address right now. It's the Christian Worship Hour. It's box 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so you just write to us, and we'll send you every month. It's free and postpaid, and it has excerpts of letters that we get. It has the sermon topics and the scripture. Oh, it's just a wonderful little paper. We really ought to charge for it, but we're so good-hearted, we send that free, and we pay the postage. Just be sure to write to us. We'll send it to you. Here's our neighbors to the north, Bismarck, North Dakota. Would you please send me 2 copies of your suicide booklet? I would like to send them to 2 sisters who have mourned the death of their mother's suicide. A resident of nursing home for 5 years, I appreciate your good messages just for me. I want to say 2 things about this letter. First of all, we have a little booklet we put out. 10 pages, and it is entitled, If a Christian Commits Suicide, Can He Go to Heaven? And the answer is yes. And we have scriptures, a 10-page booklet, and we have 8 scriptures. It's all based on scripture. Yes, if you're a Christian and you take your life, you still belong to the Lord, you'll be in heaven. And the other thing she says here is that the sermons and the singing is just for me. Well, you know why it's just for you? Because the Holy Spirit's doing that. We don't know. I don't know you from, we used to say Adam's off ox. Now, I don't know what that means. But it means that I don't know you and probably never seen you. And I won't see you till we get to heaven. But the Holy Spirit knows exactly where you are. He knows that if you need comforting. He knows if you're lonely. He knows if you're drifting into sin. He'll convict you of that sin and make you feel miserable. You come back to Jesus and confess your sins. And we hear from people all the time drifting away from the Lord. And then they come back to Jesus because the Holy Spirit talks to them. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how far you drifted away from the Lord. And I don't care what you've done. Jesus will forgive you. In 1 John 1:9, we're told, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so you, when the Holy Spirit talks to you, you just follow the leading of the Spirit and you'll be blessed by it. Here's a letter from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. And it's a nice letter I want to share with you. And they write and say, a little note from some of your Winnipeg congregation. My wife and I have been a part of your congregation for almost a decade now, ever since I became disabled and haven't been able to regularly attend our own congregation. We are your prayer partners, but also received a large unusual gift in the mail and wanted to bless others as we too have been blessed by furthering the broadcast of this service. Thank you for always taking it back to the Bible, the true and living Word of God. May it go even farther and greet the hearts of lost and the needy. As always, you and your staff remain in our daily prayers. Bless you for your dedication to the Lord's work. Isn't that a nice letter? And we just thank God for these people, and we just thank God for all of you that write to us and pray for us. And many of you support us, and we have to have your support. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But let me read one more letter, and this is from Sparks, Nevada. And I wanted you to listen to this. This is Christmas time. And listen to this sad story, because we all of us want to pray for this dear, it's a lady. She writes in, and this is what she said. I'm writing you this letter to tell you how much you have helped me in a very different way. I'm a shut-in and have been for 20 years. Because of my suffering, my wife left me and is now living in sin. This is a man writing. I was thinking of a different letter. He says, because of my suffering, my wife left me and is now living in sin. She just couldn't take our life together anymore. I tell you this to say you are the only one I have ever heard that expresses concern for shut-ins like myself. So I want to thank you. Please pray for my wife. I'll pray for you, and I love you. Sparks, Nevada. And so wouldn't it be nice if all of us would pray for this dear brother and to comfort his heart and talk to his wife. Maybe she'll come back, and wouldn't that be something? Well, we just want to thank all of you for the letters you've written us. And we thank you for your help. We just have to have your help in order to carry on this work. And we're not underwritten by any organization or denomination or any group of people. It's just people that love the Lord and know the Lord. And so you just pray about it and ask the Lord, is this a program that I should support? Is this a service that you're using, dear Lord? And if so, then you just ask God what you need to give us. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. It's box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you want to, you can send us a gift with a Christian Worship Hour. As a matter of fact, you can send gifts. over the Christian worship hour, what they call PayPal. And this is what you do. You get us ChristianWorshipHour.com, and then you get on there, donate. And then it'll say, and you hit donate, and it'll say PayPal. And you put wherever you are in the world, we get gifts from Norway, the Philippines, from Germany, from Israel. And you can just put on PayPal, and you can put your currency, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. And wouldn't that be something? All of you could help us all over the world. That would be a great thing. But most of all, pray for us and pray for this service. And then if you want the new song, I've been telling you about that new song, and you just write, use that address, say you'd like to have the new song. And somebody wrote, and they want the new song book. And of course, we don't have a song book to send you, but we have the new song. It's a little Bible study. I know you'll like it. Now, some of you, yeah, maybe you want to get our little booklet on if a Christian commits suicide. Can a Christian commit suicide? Go to heaven, and he can. If you're a Christian, you have to be a Christian. If you know the Lord, you belong to the Lord, and you're safe at home. Some of you might think, well, what if we send them a lot of money and they'll just buy big cars and homes and boats and things like that, and how do I know how they spend it? Well, you don't know how we spend it, but I accept to tell you that we belong to an organization that watches over all of our finances. It's called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They have a website. You can look them up and study all about them. But we receipt every letter we get, every penny we get, we receipt. And sometimes we get 10 cents, we receipt it. And we lose money on it, but we receipt it to keep our books right, because we're not even going to spend 10 cents. We put it in the bank. And so they not only do they make us give receipts for everything, but they check on how we use the money, how we spend it, where we put it. And they audit our books, and they check that clearly, and so that it's all on the level. And when you give money to the Christian Worship Hour, it'll go about, I think, over 90% for purchasing time on television. So we're looking to you to help us. We just pray that God will bless you as you give. So I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And then we're going to worship the Lord with tithes and offerings. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we're able to worship you all over the world. We can worship you. And we're all gathered at one spot around the throne of grace at the very feet of the Lord Jesus. And as he sits on his throne, and we're all gathered together, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Bless everyone, Lord. Draw us all closer to you. Fill us with that wonderful hope and joy that we have in Christ. And in all that we do and say, may we honor the Savior. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Love the Christmas carols, beautiful songs, beautiful messages. We're reading from Luke chapter 2 today, and this is the chapter in which we're told about the coming of the angels and the shepherds and the manger, and oh, it's a beautiful story. And we're looking at chapter 2, and we're beginning with the 8th verse. And we're told, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture, and before I pray, you know, every week we pray for a different country. And today we're going to pray for Israel. And while there is not persecution of Christians in Israel, we are told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we know that our brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem, the whole little country of Israel is under a real stress, and there's danger on every side. And God says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what we're going to do today. So, Lord Jesus, first of all, we want to thank you for Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus who was born of the Virgin in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. He isn't a little baby anymore. He grew to manhood. And as a man in our flesh, except without sin, went to the cross, paid for our sins with his own blood on that cross. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So he paid that price because he loved us. And now it's Christmas Eve, and we're thinking about the birth of the Lord. But we think also the reason that he came. And he came for one reason. He came to die for our sins. And so we just pray that, oh God, everyone who's listening in, I just pray for the Christians, that it'll strengthen us in the faith. I pray for those who are older and maybe shut-ins and can't get around, that you'll bless them with the peace of God that passes all understanding. And to those who have never opened their heart to you, we pray that Jesus would be born into their heart today in this service. And we're just urging them to do that, Lord. As the Holy Spirit talks to them, may they make the prayer of the penitent, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. And then, Lord, we pray for the nation of Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Dark clouds hanging over the whole world and over that land too. And so we just pray that you'll turn their hearts to Jesus, that they'll trust the dear Savior and find strength in him, and that they'll give them peace and but Lord, we know really in our hearts there's not going to be any peace till the Prince of Peace comes. So we pray for protection and help for them. Now bless us in this service. May all we do and say honor Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. For we pray it in his name. Amen. Well, just think, 4 days, this Thursday, Christmas Eve. And so when we get to that time, why, we just rejoice and we sing about the Savior and we rejoice in the Savior and we just put all the emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to kind of think now today and listen to some voices that came from that first Christmas. We'll have to kind of just settle everything down, turn your TV down, turn your radio down, just watch the TV service, and don't be doing any facting and all that. Put those smartphones away, and just listen to what the Holy Spirit is going to say to you and talk to you. You know, we have so much noise in the world today. You have cars are blazing away. You have children talking. You have dogs barking. And there's never a time when we're really at peace, when we're quiet with the Lord. And I saw a fellow out there the other day, that was last fall, and he was jogging, and he had earphones in. He couldn't hear the birds sing. He couldn't hear the noises of the bird tree blowing in the trees. He had some noise coming into his ears. He couldn't even think. The Holy Spirit wanted to talk to him. I don't know how you'd get to him. He's just making all that racket, all that noise. So let's just set everything aside and say, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to be listening to a telephone. We're not going to be worrying about anything. We're going to put the telephone to one side, and we're going to just listen to some voices from that first Christmas. Now, if you listen closely, the first one you're going to hear from is the angel Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is one of the two angels named in the New Testament. Gabriel, and the other one is Michael. And Gabriel appears twice in the New Testament. He comes first to Zechariah, and you remember the story, and he announces the coming of the birth of John the Baptist. And you remember how he gives a prophecy of, you're going to bear a son, you call him John. And he gave his name, he was named before he was born. And that was Gabriel talking to Zechariah. And then the second time you see the angel Gabriel in the New Testament is when he talks to Mary. And we'll spend a little time on that in just a second. But when he was talking to Zechariah, Gabriel, the angel, identifies himself. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 19, this is what he has to say. He says, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. Now, there, when he says, I stand in the presence of God, that means he is an archangel, what we call an archangel. The only two archangels named, as I say, is Gabriel and Michael. And we're told that he's in this 19, he says, I stand in the presence of God. That means that he is at God's throne. And he's praising God, and he's interceding for men. And Gabriel, then, is that God sends one of the great archangels to talk to Mary. And so Gabriel comes to Mary, and he talks to her. And this is what he says in Luke 1, verses 30 to 33. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Forever. You know why he's going to reign forever? Because he's never going to die. Jesus died once. He was raised from the grave. He'll never die again. And the throne of David is going to abide forever. And in this same scripture, Gabriel says, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Gabriel is fulfilling some of the many prophecies concerning the Messiah. And because Jesus was prophesied about his coming long before he came. For instance, 700 years before Gabriel made this announcement, the prophet Micah, this is what he said, But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me he that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth will have been from old, from everlasting. Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, Mary and Joseph don't live in Bethlehem. They live in Nazareth, 90 miles away. And Mary is pregnant. She's going to be pregnant. And how are you going to move her 90 miles so that Jesus is born in Bethlehem? But the prophet Micah said that's where he's going to be born. And she is so pregnant that when they get there, the child is born, but they leave Nazareth, go 90 miles on a little donkey, and Jesus is born in Bethlehem. The prophecies, if I didn't have anything else but the prophecies of God that are all fulfilled in such marvelous ways, I wouldn't worry a bit about the Bible being the Word of God. It's got to be the miraculous Word of God. Here it is again, 740 years before it came to pass, this prophecy from Isaiah. Isaiah says, "Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And here again, 740 years before Jesus come, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now, there's some real significance there. "Unto us a child is born and a son is given." A child is born, a son is given. That means a child is born, Jesus is born as any other child, and he takes on himself flesh, and he has flesh like we have, except without sin. He's a son. As a child is born, but he's a son that's given. And so he's not born as a son because he's always been the Son of God. Before the creation of the world, he's the Son of God. So he's always been the Son of God and God himself. But there was a time 2,000 years ago where he became a child. And you know that body ascended into heaven. And when we see him, he'll have that body. And he'll have those marks on him. And he'll have those scars. And that blessed Savior will see that, carry that body forever and ever. What a wonderful Savior. So the prophet writes, "Unto us a son is born. Unto us a child is given." And centuries waited. But after, in his own time, God sent forth his son. Galatians 4, verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." That is, when God is good and ready. When not before and not after, but exactly on time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. Mark it down. When God always was going to keep his word, and when he says something, it'll come to pass. He says his son is going to come a second time. He isn't here yet, but he's coming. And he'll be here in God's own time. So Gabriel talks to Mary. The next voice we hear is Mary does some talking. She talks with the archangel of God. She has questions like, "How can I be with child when I'm a virgin? How can that be possible? How can these things be?" Mary says, "I'm not even married. I'm a virgin. How can I be pregnant? How can I have a child?" And the Gabriel answers her. Chapter 1, Luke 1, verse 35. "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." And she is going to be pregnant. How can that be? Just think about Mary. Now he says, this angel Gabriel, he says, "Now you're going to become pregnant, but not without a man. You're just going to become pregnant." And now today you wouldn't think so much about it because we got vitro fertilization, we've got embryo transfers, we got artificial insemination, and so you can get pregnant now without the help of a man. But Mary didn't have any of these things, and in her innocence, it's a total impossibility. And so she says, "Gabriel, how can this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel and Gabriel says, "The Holy Spirit will come up on thee, power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born unto thee shall be called the Son of God. And listen to what Mary says. Oh, Gabriel, I don't believe you. You expect me to believe that? That's impossible. What did she say? Luke 1, verse 38. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to the Lord. She is saying, dear God, I don't understand this at all. But I tell you one thing, I love you and I believe you and I'm ready to do what you want me to do. God bless her. This is a young lady, maybe 14 years old. They got married early in those days, 13, 14, 15, long in there. And this innocent little girl, she says, oh my goodness, I don't understand it, God, but I submit to it. And that's Mary is telling us today, don't be questioning God. When you have things come into your life that you can't figure out, don't you get mad at God. And I read just not long ago about how somebody said they were mad at God, and then they got over it and says, well, God understood. Well, are you insane to challenge God, to be angry with God? Where did you come from? And this Mary, oh, Mary doesn't understand it, but she knew God. She knew God loved her, and she knew that God wouldn't forsake her. She believed her cousin Elizabeth, because if she had visited Elizabeth then in the time when she was pregnant, and Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist, and Elizabeth says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary is telling us, don't throw something away, don't you doubt God. You know that God loves you and God will help you. Oh, so we listen to the voices of Mary. But Joseph is there too, and so we listen to Joseph now. We hear a lot about the trials of Mary, and rightly so. She suffered and she had her share of sufferings. But Joseph had some problems too, because he was deeply in love with Mary. They were engaged to be married, and marriage hadn't taken place. And now here she is, he's engaged to her, and she's pregnant. And Joseph wants to die. There's a lot of things Joseph didn't know, but there was two things he did know. He knew that Mary was pregnant, and he knew he wasn't the father. He knew that. And so he couldn't believe it. And Mary says, well, I'll tell you what happened, Joseph. And he says, God has told me this is going to happen. And Joseph didn't believe her, couldn't believe her. I couldn't believe her. He couldn't believe her. And all remember this, dear friend, when life doesn't add up, when things don't make sense, when you're over a quandary, remember this, God is there. God knows all about your problem. And remember what we're told in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Look at that. God is watching over them all of the time. And this wonderful God, this Father in heaven, he knows when we hurt. He knew all about Joseph. He knew all about Mary. He knew about their problems. And he's going to help them and take care of them. And so when things happen in your life that you don't understand, when you're hurt or when you're lonely or when you're afraid or when you're at your wit's end or when you're in a quandary and you don't know which way to turn and your head is in a spin, fix your eyes on Jesus. Just trust God. He said that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Believe God, trust God, and love God. And so God acts. And Joseph, you know the story. He's just going to put her away privately. He could have her stoned. And here God acts, sends an angel to Joseph. And the angel said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And what did Joseph do? He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife, Mary his wife. Luke 1, verse 24. If you stop and listen closely, you will hear Joseph saying, when you don't understand things, you just trust God. Never doubt God. Leave it in His hands and love Him and walk with Him, and He'll guide and direct you. So Joseph speaks. Now comes the angels. And if we listen that at Christmas, first Christmas Eve, the angels were there. And here, out of nowhere, out in the sky, in the middle of the night, they come with Christmas carols. And one angel comes, and he talks to the shepherds. And then all of a sudden, the skies are filled with the angels. How many? A dozen? Two dozen? A million? 2 million? The skies. A multitude. It says, a multitudes of angels came. And what did they say? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior. A Savior from what? A Savior from aches and pains? A Savior from temptations and trials? A Savior from troubles? A Savior from our sins. We're all going to have those days when we're lonely or when we're a little discouraged or we may have aches and pains. It's all in this world, but the Lord Jesus comes as a Savior. What did St. Paul tell young Timothy? 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The angels in heaven are singing as they did on earth. And you can hear them if you listen to them. The Savior is born. Unto you is born a Savior. A Savior from sin. And St. Paul says, I don't care how great my sin is. I don't care how desperate my sin is. If I just trust Jesus. If I trust Jesus, just trust the Lord, He'll take away my sins. And I have people come to me and talk to me about. And sometimes they'll say, oh, I've sinned so terribly. I know God could never forgive me. I've sinned against light. That's the one that hits them the most. And they'll say, I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway. How would God ever forgive me for that? Well, always remember this. God's grace is greater than all of our sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. My grace is sufficient for thee. And St. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. Oh, he had some terrible sin. He caused the Christians to blaspheme, to curse God and to deny God. How could he do that? Well, he could take a little boy, and there's Grandpa. And they say, if you don't curse God, you don't turn against God, I'm going to cut this little boy's head off in front of you. What would you do? That's what Paul did. And he put them in prison. And he saw Stephen die. And he says, I'm the chief. And he says, the chief of sinners. And God saved me. And I don't care what your sins are. God will save you. Come to Jesus. Now let's look at the shepherds. They saw this light, this sight in heaven. And they went to the Lord Jesus. And they went, the skies are filled with angels. And they go to, you have to go to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem, between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, there's a beautiful valley. And they call shepherd's fields. And that's where they had their flock by night. And the Bethlehem is up yonder. And the angel says, over in Bethlehem, the Savior is born, and you should go and see Him and worship Him. And they saw something that you and I will never, ever see. Hardly anybody will see it. They saw Jesus when He was a baby. You'll never see that. And I'll never see that. But they went, and what did they do? They paid a price. They had to leave their sheep. They had to leave their business. They had to leave all that they had and let them be and pray to God the wolves didn't come. And they left their sheep in the night and they went to Bethlehem and they worshiped the Lord. And what they are saying is, there's no price. Don't let anything come between you and the Lord. There's no price too big to pay to worship Jesus. And they saw the Savior and worshiped the manger. And then, of course, you have to listen as you're listening. You have to listen to the wise men, and they came later. We told her that he says that he's a child in the house. They think he may be 3-4 years old by the time they got there. But they come, the wise men from the east, and they say in verse Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, we are come to worship him. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? And we have come to worship him. And you know how they found him? They went to the Bible. They said, well, we've come miles and miles over rivers and deserts and traveled for years. And we've wandered because we saw a star in the east. And we've come to worship him, but we don't know where is he in all of Israel, all of Palestine. And those who knew the Bible, the old priest goes to the Bible. And he says he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, just up the road from Jerusalem here, about 5 miles. That's where the Bible says. And they went to Jerusalem, and they went to Bethlehem, and sure enough, that's where he was. Jesus Christ, just like the Bible said. And they bought him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I don't know, I think I said the other day, one little girl in Sunday school says, why didn't they bring him a bed? You know, that's she's got a mother's heart already as a little child. And so they come to see and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And they bring him gifts. And they bring gold and frankincense and myrrh. And just my friends, when you bring the best to the Lord, they've got broad gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Don't bring wood, hay, and stubble, the little stuff you have left off out of your loose change. Put Christ first. Your tithe ought to be paid before you pay anything out. Christ ought to be first. And that's what they did. They brought him great treasures. And the wise men are saying, you can't worship the Lord. You can't do it without bringing a treasure. But there's two more, let me quickly tell you. There's an old man named Simeon, and he's been looking for the Messiah. And he says this, somehow he was looking for the consolation of Israel. That is the coming of the Messiah. Luke 2, verse 25. And so the day came when Mary and Joseph came to the temple, and the Holy Spirit said to him, Simeon, go over yonder. The child is here. And Simeon came. And when he saw Mary and Joseph, this is what Simeon said. This old man that can't hardly see anymore. And he takes this little baby, takes Jesus, a little child in his arms. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And Simeon is saying, I'm ready to die because I have the Savior. And you're not ready to die unless you have the Savior. And then there was one more, Anna the prophetess. She, as far as we can tell, she's around 100 years old. And she came, and we read, she comes on the scene, and she said in Luke 2, verse 38, give thanks likewise unto the Lord, spake of him to all of them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She is telling others about Jesus. Come and worship Jesus. And that's what we're saying here at Christmas Eve. Come and worship Jesus. Well, how do you do that? Well, the first thing you do is you ask him into your heart. You say, how do you ask him? You just ask him. You just say, dear Jesus, just please come into my heart. And you were born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Now come into my heart and be born into my heart in my life. What better time than Christmas Eve to accept Jesus, or 4 days before was even better, right now, and ask him to come into your heart, take away your sins, and tell him you'll leave the sins and you forsake the sins and you walk with him. And you're serving the best you can, and you're going to stumble and you're going to fail a lot of times. And every time you fail, you ask him to forgive you. And every time you ask him to forgive you, he'll forgive you hundreds of times over. And just keep at it and walk with the Lord. Christmas, when the Savior is born. And I'm praying that you're praying right now, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And dear Jesus, I just pray. I'll just forsake sins that I know are wrong. And you'll show me how to live. And when you show me something wrong, I'll do it. And when you show me something right, I'll do that. And dear Jesus, I thank you for saving my soul. Now you may feel something and you may not. It's a transaction. That's what it is. Where he comes into your heart and cleanses you. He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and you belong to him and you'll never perish. If you do that, you write to us. Write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or ChristianWorshipHour.com. We need to hear from you, and we need your help. You got to support us if you want this to continue. So you write to us. We need your help. I'm going to pray now for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for people all over the world is worshiping with us. I know that there are multitudes that are having Christ come into their life right now. We believe that. And, oh, God, we're going to see them someday. To those who are on sick beds or lonely or shut-ins, help them to know that you'll never leave them or forsake them, but you'll love and keep them. And we'll always give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to wish you again a Merry Christmas, a wonderful time with Jesus. I hope you'll think about us. Our address is on the screen there. You write to us. Help us out now. And then we'll see you next week. And remember, God loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you too. That's why we have these services. We could go off in a corner and have a little worship service all our own. But we want to share it with the world because we love the lost just like God so loved the world. We do too. And God loves you, and that's the main thing. So just trust him, love him, and you'll have the best Christmas you ever had in your life. God bless you, everyone. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.